Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
1 Corinthians verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. I want you to notice in verse 18 where it speaks of sleep. Many of the new Bible translations would put death there, but there's a reason that it's sleep and not death, because there is a difference. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Here we find sleep again. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. I want you to think about verse 25. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now listen to verse 27. It's going to have to go along with 25. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. Okay, now we're going to speak about death here for a moment. Now, according to what we just read here, I don't think it takes a great Bible scholar. It takes a mind of differentiation. It takes the mind of Christ. It takes us coming into his mind, for we can comprehend and understand the heights again and the widths, depths of God's word. If we're going to get our eyes opened up to this word and get away from the doctrines of men and the traditions of the elders and stay with what is written within the word. Now, according to this word right here, he said he has put all things under his feet. The last thing to put under his feet was death. Now, many times again, as we speak of death, and many of you are very well indoctrinated in differentiating between death and sleep, and many of us would comprehend and understand this, but many people still walk in this and not thinking that the last enemy of God has yet been conquered. Many people see, just like Brother Ed burying his father here last week, they'd say, well, surely death isn't conquered. You know, I mean, this is what the average mindset would be. We buried loved ones, we buried friends, we see the saints of old. Or we find that great men of God in this generations or in these days and hours, great men of faith, great men that would speak like Brother Paul spoke. And Brother Paul said, you know, I fought the fight, I've kept the faith, but he knew it was his time. You see, he knew that it was his time to go. And he kept the faith, and that was his testimony, and he was ready to go. Brother Pike, my pastor, he knew it was his time. He knew that hour had come. And his testimony was similar or the same as Brother Paul's. I've kept the faith. He walked out of the parliamentary building, or we say the Father's house, one evening. He said, it's finished. The revelation has hit the target. I've done everything that God has asked me to do, and I delivered the mysteries of God into this day and hour. And he knew that it was time that he had done all. When the Lord Jesus Christ walked among men, when he walked among men and he knew that when Peter saw the revelation of the Lord and then spoke back to him and revealed to him who he was, he said, thou art the Christ, the living Son of God. Jesus knew that he had come and fulfilled what he had come to earth to do, to bring the revelation of Jesus Christ and bring it into a present day and to bring it to life. He knew that he'd came to do, and then he changed his course and he set his course for Calvary. And then he started sharing with the brethren, you know, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be put into the ground, and 3 days later I'll rise. So he started sharing that because he knew that he had came what he had done. And you say, did Jesus die? Well, according to the scriptures, we're going to say that yes, he was crucified and he gave his life on Calvary that we can live. And when we say the last enemy to be conquered is death, then we would have to say that if anybody could conquer death, it would be Jesus. If Jesus didn't do it, I don't know when and how it can be done. The Bible teaches us very clearly that we've passed from death unto life. The Bible teaches us this. The Bible teaches that we are the children of the resurrection and children of light. We are the children of life. Jesus, when Jesus himself was coming there and he came to the tomb where Lazarus was at, and he said, oh no, he's not dead, he's asleep. And they questioned the Lord. They questioned him, said, oh no, Jesus, he's not asleep. He's dead. He's been in there for 4 days. Surely he stinketh by now. And the Lord said, no, he's asleep. When Jesus came and raised up Tabitha. When he raised her up from the dead, they questioned him. And he went in and he said, oh no, she's just asleep. Be at peace. Everything's okay. And they mocked him. And it grieved the Lord and he ran him off. And he went in and raised her. Now, let's talk about this for a minute. Was she asleep or was she dead? Was Lazarus asleep or was he dead? Is the forefathers that's gone on, if we want to talk about great apostles like Brother Paul or Peter, or if we want to talk about great men of God through the times of the Word, are they dead or are they asleep? So many would say, well, no, Brother Rob. Medically speaking, science would say they're dead. Medically speaking, science is going to say, man, there's no heartbeat. There's no breath within their lungs. The body is in corruption. It's rotting in the grave. They're dead. But you see, we need to stay with the Word of God. The Bible said, let this word be true and every man be a liar. You see, the last enemy of God was death. And the thing is that the Bible teaches that the transgression of the law is sin and the sting of sin is death. But when the Lord spoke to us, is the Lord Jesus a liar when he said that we've passed from death unto life? Did he lie to us when he said that? Did he lie to us that when he speaks this way to us? I'd say not. So then what we need to do is get indoctrinated in the Word. And we need to understand the Word. Did Jesus die? And some would say, well, surely he did. But then the Bible doesn't teach that in its fullness, does it? It says that he is life and he's the Prince of Life. That he had no beginning and he had no end. Had no mother and had no father. Then what do we do with that? We say there's controversy in the Word because we do know that Jesus had a father. The Heavenly Father. And we'd say that, you know, that he died on the cross of Calvary. But then yet we have to rend and differentiate between the body, soul, and the spirit. The Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost. Which we do so oftentimes. So we find ourselves differentiating. And we find ourselves differentiating between the Lord and the Christ, between the Son of God and the Son of Man. So we find that the Son of Man came, and we know that it was God. Emmanuel means God with us. The Bible teaches us that Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So then we say, well, what is he? Philip came and asked Jesus, when will we see the Father? And he says, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? I am the Father of one. The Father's within me and I'm within the Father. So then we say, well, what is he? Is he the Son of God or is he the Father? Which one is he? You see, but we have to stay with what is written in the Word. So we say that Jesus had no beginning and no end according to the Bible, but then yet we find him being birthed in a manger. Amongst a bunch of beasts in the manger, and we find him being birthed over here about 2,000 years ago, but the Bible said that he had no beginning and no end. Then we find that the Bible said that your name was put down in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world ever was. And the Bible says that we were leaping for joy, being the sons of God, leaping for joy before the foundations of this world, or before this world ever was. According to the scriptures, we have no beginning and no end. But you say, well, I was born in 1940, I was born in 25, I was born in 60, or whatever. You say, that was my beginning. Well, you see, you surely don't understand the Word of God. You don't understand the Word. We don't understand that spirits are eternal, have no beginning and end. We have to understand that hell was not made for man, but it was made for fallen spirits. Because these fallen spirits are eternal spirits. You don't have to go to a church to get eternal life. But no, Brother Rob, you're missing. You don't understand. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have not eternal life. Well, who told you that? That's a lie. You have eternal life. All men, everybody has eternal life. The only thing that Jesus changes of your eternal life is the destiny of that eternal life. You're either predestined to eternal flames of hell and the lake of fire. So you're eternal without Jesus. You are going to live eternity. The destiny of your eternity, there is some things that lay within the will. It's not His will for any to perish, not even one, according to the Scriptures. So if it's up to God's will, then you won't perish because it's His will for none. But then yet you have a will. You have a choice of a destiny of who you choose this day to who you serve. Whoever you give your body to, members, whoever you give that to is who you are members of. If you give your life to this world, you give your strength to the flesh. You give all of your cares and ambitions and everything over to worldly things, then you are of the world. And the Bible says that when you are of the world, your father is the devil. We got to know that there's two enemies. There's light and there's darkness. And you either have one father, which is God, or you have one father, which is the devil. And you say, well, which one am I of? Who do you surrender your members to? The Bible teaches friendship with the world is adultery and God. And the Bible said that they hated Him first, and that if you have Him dwelling within you, they're going to hate you also. Then how do you find fellowship in the world if you are a child of God? If you're a blood-bought, born-again child of God, the world despises you and hates you, and they don't want anything to do with you. When you go into the world because you are a child of the resurrection and a child of light, the light that's dwelling in you eradicates the darkness of the people of the world. But when we find ourselves fellowshipping the people of the world, when we find ourselves fellowshipping with darkness, it's because there's no light within us. You say, well, Brother Rob, I think that I could go out here and fellowship them. Many times people say, well, that's my ministry, that's my calling. I had a man tell me one time, he said, you know, God's called me to go sit in the bars. Nobody else is going there. And he goes, I go sit in the bar to be a light to them. You know, and I try to tell them about Jesus. And you say, do you find fault with that, Brother Rob? No, if God told him to do that, I don't find fault with that. But the Lord spoke something else to me by discerning of spirits, by a word of knowledge as the man was speaking. And I rebuked the man, and it was correct and from the Lord. The religious people of the day and hour, Jesus, they found fault with Him for going in the house with sinners. They found fault with Him, but He went in and ministered the word. He didn't fellowship them in their evil ways. He went in and ministered the gospel to them. And when this man said that God had called him to go in the bars, I said, brother, let me tell you something. If God called you to go into the bars and preach the gospel in them bars, He would have called you also not to drink with them and not to be on the dance floors with them. And the man dropped his head because it was a demon spirit of lust and a demon spirit of drunkenness. And he wanted to bring religion in to his filthy, immoral lifestyle that he could feel justified to do what he wanted to do in his heart. It was in his heart to be a drunkard. It was in his heart to carouse around with women and to dance on the dance floor. And the same man that I'm speaking about, professing Christianity, was what they called the Grand Dragon of the KKK. And I'll tell you what, if you're involved in any such thing, surely you're not born again. And God is not speaking to you. The only God that's speaking to you is the God of this world, and that you are lost and twice dead and plucked up by the roots, and the man needs a good old-fashioned born-again experience. Brothers and sisters, I know we sometimes speak direct or maybe would seem somewhat maybe harsh, but you know, there's realities in this world that we've got to come to understand and comprehend. There's realities that we're going to have to face up to and let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Either we're going to be a servant of God and we're going to live for God and we're going to walk with God, or we may as well just get on out there in the world and just get with it, kick up our heels and have a good time and just frolic in the flesh and just go on to hell, because that's what you're doing anyway if you're playing with the world. Amen. We need to come out. The Bible said, come out of the world and be a separate people. Amen. And that's what we need to do. And if the preachers aren't preaching that, then the preachers need to get born again, because they're compromisers and they're just compromising to get an audience, and they're compromising to get an offering, and they're just saying what people want to hear to itching ears. Amen. And they just want to say what they want to hear, for they could go on and build up the numbers in the church and attendance to get the offerings. So I don't think we've left anybody out this morning. Amen. If you give place to the devil and the devil's dwelling within you and speaking through you, then you, according to the word of God, you're antichrist. And the Bible said there's many antichrists among us. Amen. Okay, now, we're still speaking about death. You say, well, Brother Rob, when they take a man and they stick him in a box, a coffin, is he dead? Some are. Do we have to wait to see them in a box to say they're dead? No. The Bible, some are twice dead and plucked up by the roots, and some are dead while they still yet live. So then how could they be dead when they still yet live? Well, we'll go to the opposite side of that, and we read in the Scriptures, and we say that I've been crucified with Christ, Brother Paul speaking in Galatians. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. He said, the life that I now live in this flesh, he said, I live by faith in the Son of God. So he declared himself to be dead in Christ. You see, what is baptism for? Why do we take somebody down and baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sin? It's because they're dead. When something is dead, it's got to be buried. You see, now naturally speaking, when we're rending the veil and someone would pass away, we could say death. When they put them in a box, they got to be boxed and be buried because they stink. That's the proper thing to do. Now, when you've been crucified with Christ and no longer live, then you need to be buried. So what are we buried in? We're watery grave of baptism, according to the Scriptures, and we're resurrected as a new creature in Christ Jesus. So in this resurrection, if we are the children of this resurrection, then we're the children of life. We have passed from death unto life. Death is no longer our enemy. Death no longer has no hold on us. Amen? So you say, but Brother Rob, I'm aging. Brother Rob, my hair's falling out. Brother Rob, you know, my skin's wrinkling. Brother Rob, I don't have the strength I had before. That has nothing to do with life. There is a quickening spirit of eternal life with all power and all strength that's dwelling within your innermost being. There is a spirit of youth and a spirit of life that's dwelling there, of wisdom and understanding and knowledge that is dwelling within there. But then yet it is manifesting within your mortal genes. It's manifesting within that corruptible image that you are. It is manifesting in that aging body of yours. The Bible says, let the weak say that they're strong. You see, we do not go by the strength of this flesh. Jesus is a healer. And the thing is if this old body is aching and in pain, or if this old body is in sickness, we don't confess sickness. We confess Christ, amen. And we confess strength and health because this is what he says. It's not believing a lie and being damned to do that. We believe that, and then it comes to manifestation. Now let me, with that thought, I'm going to read the scripture to you. Again, it says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted. Now listen to this, which did put all things under him. So what are we speaking about? We're speaking about a manifestation. I ministered a message not long back, and I was speaking about winning the redemption of the body. And we think of the change or the transfiguration, the Bible says. And when we think of this change, the whole church is yearning and longing and waiting, which the Bible said it's the world that's yearning and longing and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. I could turn you over to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and it says, now we are the sons of God. Now. It said, beloved, now. Now we are the sons of God. You see, but then yet there's many teachings throughout many of the churches that are teaching this sonship in him is a futuristic thing. When there is no time in the Spirit. If you were leaping for joy before the world ever was, according to the Scriptures, why were you doing that? Because you were a child of God. You see, and then yet we're speaking here when we read this Scripture about a manifestation. You see, and it is manifested that death has been put under the feet by them that have accepted him and him that believe. If you don't believe that, then there is no manifestation of that. You see, again, we have to understand death and sleep, death and life. A child of God that is born of God, the Bible says, cannot die. Sin is the sting of death. And if you are a sinner, then you will taste of death. The Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment of God. The thing is, brothers and sisters, the judgments of God begin in the house of God. If you are born again and you are born of God, you will not see judgment on the other side. You will enter into your reward in Christ Jesus. If you are a born again individual, the judgment begins in the house of God, and it's by the ministry of God. You're going to come into the house of God, and if you're living like a drunkard, if you are a homosexual, if you are a lesbian, if you are a whoremonger, whatever you are, your judgment, you're going to hear about it from the sacred desk if the preacher's called of God. Because he'll turn people from their sin according to what is written. So if you are a child of God and you're born again, you're going to be judged on this side. You might say, well, the Bible teaches that, you know, that we're not to judge. Well, somebody's going to have to show me that, because I can show you lots of Bible that says that we don't need to take our matters to the world, because we're going to even judge the angels. And it said that we should be able to take care of all those matters. Amen. It does say, judge not lest you be judged in the same matter. And if I'm a drunkard judging you for to be a drunkard, that means I just brought the judgments of God on me, because I showed that I have the understanding that it's sin and that it's wrong. And that, and then it's imputed to me as sin, because I understand it of being wrong, because I judged you for it. The Bible said, ye that are spiritual judge all things. So we find out that it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. And if you have died a death with the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary by faith, is speaking again of Galatians there. And if you have died that death and you've been crucified with Christ, then you no longer live. And now it's Christ living and dwelling within you. And that is eternal life. Amen. And the only death that you will die is that death that you've died by faith with the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Amen. And then you've entered into the kingdom of God, and the judgment has begun. Now there's many things that I could say here. I would find many novices in the Bible. I would find many denominational teachers from all walks of denominations and all walks of life want to dispute with me of the things that I'm saying. It's because they're walking in traditions of men and not staying with the Word. The Bible said, let this Word be true and every man be a liar. And I believe what Jesus said. I believe that I am eternal. I believe that He has conquered death. I believe that I've passed from death unto life. I believe that I cannot die because of what Jesus done. Not because of my righteousness, because I have none outside of Him. Not because I'm a preacher. Not because I go to church. Simply because the grace of God. Amen. And by having faith in what He's done. Now, if He did not do this, then what did He come and die for? If He did not do this for us, then what are we going to church for, and what are we speaking about? As we read right here, it said, what is your hope in a resurrection if you can't believe this? If He isn't resurrected, and He was the first brethren to be resurrected, and then we come after Him, then what is it? What is your hope if what I'm saying isn't factual and isn't true? Are you observing lying vanities? The Bible said if you observe lying vanities, you forsake your own mercy. That's what the Bible says. I'm not going to observe lying vanities. I'm not going to observe this aging body. I'm not going to observe the pains and the afflictions and the sicknesses that come to this body. I'm going to observe the Lord Jesus Christ as the Prince of Life and as the resurrection. It's like I told a man one time, I said, if a demon of hell grabbed me by the ankles and dragging me into the eternal flames, and he's dragging me into the lake of fire, I'm going to be testifying the Lord Jesus Christ all the way. Amen. Because it's something within my heart. His Word. Word is true. His Word is real. His Word is life. He is salvation. And I know that the only way that I could have life and have salvation is by faith. And faith is speaking those things that are not as if they are, or the things that you do not see, and bring them into a comprehension and an understanding. I am walking in life. I am product of life. I am eternal in the Godhead. I am living forever. I cannot die. I have passed from death unto life. And you say, brother, it's like an elderly lady that's passed on and come to church, and she heard me preaching like that. She says, boy, does he have a rude awakening coming someday? No, I don't. I don't have a rude awakening. Jesus conquered it for me. He's promised it to me, and He said it. And if I can't believe it, then what other part of the Word am I going to throw out? You see, if I am put in a box, and they put me in a box, my family all comes around and mourns, and they put flowers all around to cover up the stench of my rotten flesh, I'm not dead. Don't you know the Bible said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord? That's not death. You see, you reckon everything to be after the flesh. You look at the flesh and you number the world after the flesh. You think strength is what you see within a man. That's not strength. The power of the Holy Ghost is dwelling within that man that gives him the power to overcome sin, give him the power to overcome darkness and Satan and the things and the lust of this world. That's the power. A man that could pump up his muscles isn't power. That's not strength. You're observing lying vanities. You don't understand. When you see a man put in a box, you're thinking, oh, that's death. That's not death. Death is when that man did not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's the second death, and there's a resurrection, and he stands before the white throne judgment of God, and he's put into the eternal lake of fire. That's what death is. You understand that? But we are life and got the Spirit of life dwelling within us. We are eternal in God. We're not waiting on eternal life. We are eternal life. We're not waiting on that. We're living for God today, and we're walking by the Spirit today. The Bible said, now ye are the sons of God. Today is the kingdom of God. You know, where is it? We have all these little religious sayings. You know, it's like, oh, you know, God's living in my heart, you know, and this and that. Well, if he is, then what are you waiting on him for? You say, well, I've been born again. I asked Jesus in my heart. Then why do you keep talking about him coming someday? If the Bible says that two or three come together in his name, he's in the midst, then why do we keep talking about him? Do we believe this? Do we believe that we came here to church today in the name of the Lord? Can we believe that he's present with us? That's what we need to believe. So let's quit talking about him coming someday in the clouds. He's dwelling with us. He's in us. What you do the least of these, my brethren, is what you've done unto me, he says. I was in prison, you visited me not. You see, Christ is in the earth, he's dwelling. The Antichrist is in the earth, he's living. Oh, but he's going to come over here out of Syria. He's going to rise up in some Arab nation someday. He will. To them, to the ones that are blind and don't have eyes to see, he's going to have to manifest in a flesh and tabernacle. Just as the ones that don't know Jesus today. Oh, he's coming. But when he comes, the Bible said that's the great and terrible day of the Lord. He's not coming for me. He's surely not coming for you. He's coming for the Jew. Are you a Jew? I'm a spirit Jew. He's already came for me. So if you're a natural Jew, that's who he's coming back for. And you've been blinded in part and you don't see good when good comes. You rejected him when he was here. You took him to the cross of Calvary and crucified him. And when he comes back for you, that you could see him coming in the kingdom of this earth. Then the thing is when he comes to that kingdom and declares this to be the kingdoms of God, that means that there's a change. And the change is that we've with the redemption of this body. We are no longer relative to the things of this earthen vessel. And the thing is that this body of aging is no longer. The Bible says that the mortal puts on immortality. Telestial, celestial. So there's a change that takes place. But when do we confess that? When do we believe this? See, if we can't speak by faith, then we can't have it, just as we read right here. Of the ones that have accepted this, they've passed from death unto life. The ones that have accepted this, the last enemy of God to be conquered was death. I believe that. When he hung his head, he said, it's finished. He didn't say, well, I got to come back and conquer death. He didn't say that. He said, it's finished. And we read the next passage of scriptures there. And it said that all things were put under his feet. The last thing that happened to be put under his feet was death. But he did it. That's what he came to do. The Bible said that death has been abolished. So if it's been abolished, we need to believe that. Let's quit being with the traditions of men. Let's quit being dried up with these religious leaders of America and these television evangelists. Let's quit being dried up and following after the filth of the ignorance. Let's stay with the Word of God. The Bible said that in the end times, the light will get seven times brighter. What is the light? It's the revelation of the Word, the understanding of this Word. Light is understanding. And we better start coming to understanding and know who we are in Him. The Bible said it's a small flock, few be there that find it. If you go by the way of the religious world, you're on your way to hell. Oh, you think that this is the only church? No, I ain't that ignorant. I know there's many wonderful men of God all around the world that are preaching the gospel, but we're in a day and hour of hirelings, and it's just a job. My daddy was a preacher. My grandfather was a preacher, you know, and they go off to school and to college like it's some kind of place to be trained for and some kind of thing. It's a calling. It's a calling of God. And they go and they just take a job over here. I was speaking with a man over in Oklahoma, a minister that went into ministry in the early 80s, at the same time we was working together into the ministry. And I went over to see him and actually ministered in his church for him. I better stop with that part. But he told me, he said, "Well, I'm thinking about going over to this church. It pays better." I rebuked him. He was going over to a church that was contrary to the doctrine that he had been indoctrinated into, the Word of God. But he was going because of pay. The same man had pulled a gun on his wife just prior to that conversation with me. That man ain't fit for the ministry. He ain't fit to be pastor in a church. That kind of foolishness. If a man can't command his own home, he has no business being in the house of God according to the scriptures, trying to command the house of God. You say, why do you say those things? Because it's just an expose of what day and hour that we're living in. Because it's like the minister down here in town, he left to take another church for 300 and some odd thousand a year. Is that what makes a decision to go take another church or to go to another town? No, that just makes a decision to prove that they're a hireling. It's like when the man come to me, "Oh, you're a pastor of a church. Oh, man, praise God." You know, and wants to come over and testify and wants to come over this and that. And I said, "Oh, we run about 15 people." This was a few years ago. And his head dropped. "Oh, ain't enough money over there to go over there." If God calls you to testify and preach the gospel, you're not looking to see how many in the numbers. I thank God for one soul that comes to the kingdom of God. If God sends me halfway around the world, if it's over to the Philippines or wherever it is, and one soul comes to God, and one soul ends up in the house of God to hear the ministering of the word, I rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It isn't for offerings. It isn't for finances. This is God's work. He takes care of it. He said he never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. Why are these preachers on the television every time they're on there? They're begging for finance and begging for money. It's just an expose to show they're not of God. And you say, "Well, you're a self-righteous fellow, aren't you, man? You're just going to put them all down." Hey, I'm just telling you the day and hour we're living in. This isn't my choosing. It isn't my ways, brothers and sisters. I know a workman's worthy of his hire. But, you know, if a man's doing about the Father's business and preaching the gospel, he don't have to be begging for bread. He don't have to be on the television pleading every time he's on there saying that, you know, "We need your money and we need your finance." He need to get on there preaching the gospel and let God make a way. And if God isn't making a way, God say, "I don't want you on there no more. I don't want you there." It's like when they took prayer out of school, this Madam O'Hara, whatever her name. They said, "Oh, what a terrible, wretched thing." No, God was sick and tired of the way they prayed in the school. Sick of the drunk school teacher and the whoremongers and the harlots and the homosexuals. And it was commanded that they had to pray every morning. And God was sick and tired of the reprobates praying. So he said, "Let's get it out of there." And he happened to use an evil woman to do it. The Bible said, "Evil can't come to the city lest I send it." God had his way in it. He didn't want the abomination going on there no longer. So what do? We put our children somewhere that it isn't that way. There's too much filth and immorality and everything's accepted. The young man sitting right here goes to a church and his pastor's got a homosexual music minister singing behind the pulpit, we'll call it, because they're pulling him into the pit. We won't call it a sacred desk. You're not going to defile a church with a homosexual coming up and raising his hands and singing to the Lord. That homosexual's got one thing to look forward to, and that's the fiery indignation of God. And he's going to burn in eternal flames of hell. And the preacher needs to get in the man's face and tell him, "You need to get born again. And you're not going to be on my platform with your filth and your perversion." And then when he comes down, sits by his lover in the church, that's an abomination in the eyes of God. And it's a manifestation that the pastor is not born of God, because the Bible said he'll turn people from their sin. I know that sounds rather hard or maybe offensive to this young brother. This man loves the Lord. He's got a hunger and thirst after righteousness, and he's looking for the truth. That is the truth, and the truth will set you free, because I'm not sitting in a church with perverts. Amen. And if there's perverts in there, God shed his blood and died for them, and they could come and find confession of their sins with God, and he'll cleanse them and make that homosexual pure and clean before God. And then he could be put in a position of a music minister or whatever, but he isn't going to walk down from the platform and sit by his homosexual friend. Amen. And they're not going to go off in their relationship. A minister that allows that is telling all the children in the church it's okay. When you're at school and they come to you and they make a pass at you, it's okay. When they're teaching them in the churches that it's just that God made them this way. No, God didn't make them this way. It's the God of the world that made them that way. It is Satan that made them that way, and it is filth and it is perversion, and it is the Antichrist dwelling in them, and it's an abomination in the eyes of God. And so is drunkenness, and so is adultery, and so is fornication, and all of the other things that are not clean before the Lord in the lifestyles of the flesh. We need to stay with the Word, amen. You know, you're going to live for just a short number of days on this earth. You say, oh, I believe I'm going to live to be 150. That's like a vapor and a mist. If you live to be 200, it's like a vapor and a mist when you talk about eternity. Amen. So you better start choosing what you're doing with your life. You better start setting your course of what you're going to do with your life, because you're setting up your eternity of where your dwelling place is. You're setting up of what you're going to do. You see, we got to stay with the Word of God. And the Bible said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And you say, well, I better go and read the commandments of the Old Testament. No, I say you better read the commandments of the New Testament. They're much greater. In the Old Testament, it said that you can't commit adultery, or a man can't go sleep as a married man with another woman, we might say. But in the New Testament, it says if you even look upon the woman with lust in your heart, that you've committed adultery. You better get with Jesus' ways, and you better let His ways be right. And you better quit going around with all the watered-down ways of this religious world. Amen. It's time to pull in. It's time to press in. Gross darkness has come to America. Gross darkness has infiltrated the world, brothers and sisters. And it's this gross darkness, and we are the light to eradicate that darkness. But when the Lord starts pulling the light out, then the darkness is going to take over. And that's when the church goes out. Amen. So the thing is, we need to be careful. Let's don't be compromisers. Let's don't be idle. Let's don't be lukewarm. He said, if you're lukewarm, he'll spew you out of his mouth. Let's don't be just, oh, everything's okay. If you're going around with this gospel that, oh, Jesus is love, he loves everybody, then you're deceived. Because he said he's angry with the wicked and he's pursuing them off the face of the earth. I'm telling you what, the Lord Jesus, when he came into the temple there in Jerusalem, he pulled the whip out and he ran the money changers out of the house of God. And let me tell you something, this one that they say is coming, and doing that, when he does come set back up, watch out. Because that's exactly what it's going to be. But when he's dwelling within us and he's living within us, and it's no longer the minister speaking, but God speaking through him according to this word, if we are people that believe in the word, then that's why the preachers are called, and to bring the judgment. He said he's the avengers of God is what the Bible says the preacher is. He's the avengers of God. And the Bible says, woe unto him that holds the sword back from blood. Amen. That's the callings of God. When God spoke to me and said, your ministry is going to put more people into hell than it's going to put into eternal life, I said, I want no part of it. I want no part of that. I just go back and being an airplane mechanic and a pilot. And I, man, I don't want nothing to do with putting all these people into hell. That was a harsh revelation to come to. But you know, this Bible, go give it to everybody. Go put it out through all the world and distribute it all that you can. This Bible right here puts more into hell than it puts into eternal life. The Bible said it's a wide, broad path to destruction, and few be there that find it, the straight and narrow way. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. That's the way of Jesus Christ. It said that the righteous scarcely make it in. Why? Because sin is not imputed unless there's a knowledge. Where does the knowledge of sin come from? Right here within this word right here. And this is what they'll be accountable for. So when you bring the word, it's either bringing judgment or it's either bringing life. And it's your choice. It's not my choice. He didn't come to curse. It wasn't his choice. It's your choice. When you find yourself being separated from God and going into eternal flames of the lake of fire, it isn't his choice. It was your choice. You chose not to serve him. You chose not to do what the Bible says, to give your life as a living sacrifice, which was just your reasonable service. You chose not to do that. Does your religion offer you just to come to the church and say, oh, I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I prayed, asked God into my heart. Hey, praise God, I'm a Christian now. Give me another joint. Let me just suck down another couple beers with you. Let me go out here and to the dance halls with you. Is that what your religion offers? Well, your religion is in vain, because my religion is true and undefiled, like the Bible says. Keeping myself unspotted from the world is what the Bible says. My teaching, not my, his teaching, the Word of God teaching, is to come out of that world. Separate from those things. Give your life as a living sacrifice. You know, what is that? Your reasonable service. What does that mean? It means that's the least that you can do. He died for you and gave his life for you that you could have life and that you could live. So now you must die and quit living your life the way you want to live and what feels good to your flesh and be a servant of the living God. That's the least that you can do. That's what's commanded of you to do. Why wouldn't it be nice just to come to church and say, oh, Jesus died for you. He shed his blood. God is love and God loves you. Hey, we do that. I mean, that's the truth. But we got to get like the brother from Wales said, we got to hear the rest of the truth. You see, we can't just take a partial truth. We got to stay with the whole Word of God. It's easy to take that. That's why the homosexuals are sitting in church, because they're just hearing the love of God, the love of God, the love of God. What about you as a natural father? It's easy to understand that. It says that if you as being a natural father desire to give good gifts to your children, how much more your spiritual father love to give good gifts unto you? He gave us the gift of life. He gave the gifts that we read about in the scriptures. You know, when we think of these gifts, we think of the things in the spirit that we have. Discernment. We think of faith, miracles, and healing. We think of all the gifts that he's given unto us. We think of the gifts of the fivefold ministry. The evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, the prophet, the apostle. These are the gifts that he's given. But we can understand as man. What if every day your child came home and you said, oh, son, I love you. And you hugged him. Oh, son, I love you. And you hugged him. Oh, son, I love you. And you hugged him. And, you know, hey, dad, I need some money. Okay, here's 20 bucks. He comes in and men late. Hey, dad, I need some money. Here's 20 bucks. Boy, you're a good dad. No, you ain't fit to be a dad when he's taking that money and buying dope. When he's taking that money and buying alcohol. And you come in and tell him you love him every night. And you love him and you love him, which is the truth. You do love him. Yes, you do want to share with him. But when your son is contrary to the things of the order of the household and what's good for him, and he's breaking the laws of the land, and he's out doping it up, defiling his body, and you're giving him fine, you're not fit to be a father. So why would we put our heavenly father in such a place as that? The Bible says that he chastens them that he loves. And it said, without chastening, you're a bastard child. That means you have no father. And if you have not him as a father, then your father is the devil, according to the scriptures. So you have a father. But that father would be an illegitimate, and you'd be the bastard child. But we're not bastard children. We have a father which is in heaven, and he chastens them that he loves. And if there is no chastening, means he's not your father. So if we continue on in things that would be of a sinful lifestyle, then the judgments of God are coming to us on this side. The Bible said, teaches that. It said some men's go before and some after. What are the ones that go before? It means that you have entered into the church and that you are part of the church, and God is bringing the judgment to you on this side. The ones that go after is the fiery indignation of God, are being cast into the flames of hell. The fiery indignation of God for the elect of God in this day and hour is the chastening of the Holy Ghost, where he comes in as the Holy Ghost baptizing you with fire, burning out the impure and unclean things within your life. Amen. So it's the Word. I challenge people to come to the Word. I said, hey, if you're not in agreement with Brother Rob, bring the Bible and show me. You show me if I've made any mistakes in this Word, I'll stand before the people and say, look, I'm sorry. You know, I've misunderstood. But I've yet to have that happen. Because when you're in the Word and you're preaching the Word, even though they come against you, even though they get out in the outside in the shadows and they speak against you and they say, oh, I'm not in agreement with them, but they never come to you. They never come to you because they know the Word's truth and they know the Word's right. And when they're not in the Word and not walking in the Word, they're always going to stay at a distance and stay away, because the Word is light and exposes the darkness within their life. That's why the homosexual sitting in this man's church, there must be no light in him, because a homosexual ain't going to sit in this church, because the light of the Word of God is going to expose the darkness, and they're going to leave and they're going to flee, or they're going to come into the altars and get born again, and God is going to cleanse them from that. That's why the Bible said when they're called of God, they turn people from the sin. You see, but when you have the people sitting in that and they're not hearing that, then they're not being chastened for that, then the man isn't called of God. You see, there's no light. You can't expose and you can't run darkness off with darkness. because they fellowship together, but light eradicates the darkness, and the darkness will flee. Amen. So the thing is it sounds like a message that would be against the homosexual. No, God loves the homosexual. He died for them, shed his blood, and they do need to find a place of fellowship. Now, if I had two homosexual men come sit in my church, they're going to hear the word. They're not going to be on my platform. They're not going to be playing pianos or guitars. They're not going to be doing those things. The thing is, they come to church, and I might try to work with them and help them out and try to indoctrinate them in a godly lifestyle and tell them that there is the power of the Holy Ghost that gives us the power to overcome things. We preach the power of the Holy Ghost in this church, the power to overcome sin, the power to overcome darkness, the power to overcome alcoholism, the power to overcome tobacco, the power to overcome anger, the power to overcome bitterness. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. He said that he would give us his power. He did give us his power. When the churches are perverting the word and saying that God made them that way, then that's saying that God's a pervert. He didn't make them that way. My God's a righteous, holy, just God. Pure. And he made us pure and undefiled and righteous by the blood that he shed. So the thing is, the message isn't against sodomites. The message is against a professing Christian that calls himself a sodomite and said that God made him that way. That's perversion of the doctrine of the Bible. And the pastor that allows that or believes that also, I was in California and I had a Lutheran minister come to me. I was a youth pastor in Assembly of God Church out there. And a Lutheran minister come to me and he was talking to me and he said that their church just made an exception of that because they had come in their meetings to understand that God made some of them that way. And I told the man right then, I said, you're so wrong. God did not. And there is the problems when the church is making the allowances for those things, brother, sister. And we're not just going to pick that thing out as just one thing. It's like I said, we're going to put the drunkards and all of them all right in the same eternal flames of the lake of fire. All of them. God's not pleased with any of it. He gave us the power to overcome all those things. The Bible said no liar will have their part, or all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. So you see, we're going to have to put the liars right there with them all. But we don't make exceptions for these lifestyles. They could say that it's okay in this day and hour, but it's not okay. Stay with the Word of God. Stay with what the Bible says. Amen. I told the little brother, I said, you need to go to this pastor and you need to say, look, I'm having a real difficult problem here. And I said, you're going to have to help me out. That's what he owes him to him to do that. I said, you know what? I know the Bible says not to rebuke an elder. And the thing is that I couldn't put the man in an eldership position with the foolishness of that. But the thing is no, he doesn't need to go to him and put his finger in his face and scream and yell at me. He just say, look, I got a real problem here and you're going to have to help me out. And then you have to make a decision if he perceives there's no understanding in the man to depart from him according to the Bible. If you perceive there's no understanding, amen. So let me look for a place to close here. We're speaking about life and death. So the thing is if we're speaking about life and death and sleep. Now when the Bible says, when we talk about the change or the winning the redemption of the Bible, we always go in here and read, it talks about these forefathers that went on into sleep. We've seen how Jesus dealt with ones that we would call death. So we've got to rend the veil between a sleep and between a death. Now the thing is if we have passed from death unto life and they put us in a box, it's not death, it's sleep. You see, you say, well, what is it then? If you're to be present with the Lord, are you going to be standing there sleeping? No, this is where we rend the veil between the spirit and the soul and the body. Now, the thing is that when we say of this sleep, that body there is waiting for what we would say the resurrection of the flesh, which is relative to the Jew. Now, the Jews have not seen their resurrection, but we have seen our resurrection, but not in the flesh. You see, the Bible said that we've been caught away into heavenly places. Now, you can call that whatever you want, but that's a resurrection. The Bible said we're the children of the resurrection. When they came to Jesus speaking of the resurrection, he said, I am the resurrection. You see, because he had already been dwelling in heavenly places. See, brothers and sisters, we're dwelling in heavenly places. The Bible said that there is a door opened in heaven. And we've entered in through that door, through the straight gate, and we've entered in through that door by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And we've entered into this place, and we become joint heirs with Christ Jesus through the born again experience. We are the new creatures in Christ because we're born again. And when we're born again, we're no longer born of man. Nicodemus said, I can't enter into my mother's womb again. So we have entered into the spirit world, into spirit life, by being birthed into the spirit, by being born of God. That's what the born again experience is being born of God. So when you're born of God, the Bible said he has given us power to be the sons of God. So now, brothers and sisters, he has given us the power to be the sons of God, and the sons of God are eternal in the Godhead. The sons of God have become joint heirs with God. The sons of God have passed from death unto life. And this is why the Bible teaches this and tells us that. And we must believe that. It doesn't matter if the mass majority of the church world doesn't believe that. We believe what the Word of God says, and we're going to stay with what the Word of God says. Most of our churches have gone to Catholicism. They said, we're Protestants, we protest against the Catholic Church, and we come out of it. But they're still teaching the same doctrine that the Catholic Church perverted. And they're teaching three gods. They're teaching these things. And it's not the Word, but we better stay with the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. And let this Word be true. And every man be a liar. So when we speak of life and death, and we speak of sleep and death, stay with what the Bible says. The Bible again says faith. Speaking those things, again, that are not as if they were, or we say faith, being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you say, well, when I look at you with my eyes, I see a man that's aging. When I look at you with my eyes, I see this, but you say you're eternal. But see, you're not supposed to look with these eyes. The Bible said we go by faith, not by sight. That's what the Bible says. My eyes are lie, they deceive. You see, but the Spirit doesn't. It's not these eyes that we see with. Jesus said, though you have eyes to see, you do not see. And though you have ears to hear, you do not hear. So we don't trust with what we see with these eyes. These eyes are observing lying vanities. These eyes say, man, I saw him put him in a box. That preacher said that death was conquered. They put him in a box. Your eyes are observing lying vanity. You have to look beyond the flesh, and you got to find life in the Spirit. That's why the Bible said walk in the Spirit. Why the Bible says be led by the Spirit. This is why the Bible said speak unto one another as spirituals. This is why the Bible teaches that. Because we're not supposed to go by the flesh. We're supposed to go by the Spirit and walk by the Spirit. See in the Spirit. Speak in the Spirit. And the spirit world is life. There is no death in the spirit world. The spirit world is resurrection, and we are the children of resurrection. The spirit world is eternal. The spirit world, brothers and sisters, is what we walk in now, but that's manifesting in this. Now back to the scripture that I was telling you there. It says there is an exception that we believe. What Jesus did and what he said. There was an exception made here, and except you believe, then you are partakers with death. The only way that you come out of death is by believing and confessing and speaking. So if I keep speaking death, the Bible said he gives you the fruit of your thoughts. So if I think I'm death and I think I'm walking in death, then I will. He gives you the fruit of your thoughts. If you think you're a failure, you are a failure. If you think you're lost, you are lost. If you think you are born again, you are born again. It's by the power of thought. It's by the power of the blood, but the blood is applied, and these spirits come by the way of thought, and I simply must believe. And I need to start making the confession into believing. Why does the Bible say that you must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart? There has something to do with our confession. But then the Bible also says that they confess with their mouth, but they don't believe in their heart, and they're damned. They believe a lie, and they're damned. So you say, what is it? That's confusion. No, it's not confusion. It's understanding that there's children of light and children of darkness. And one is speaking to one and one speaking to the other. So ring the bell. Find out who you are in him. Make your calling and election sure, the Bible says. Start pressing your way into the kingdom of God. Enter into the travail in the spirit realm and start travailing against the principalities and powers of this spiritual wickedness and evils that are in this world. You know, if you think that the Antichrist is some futuristic thing coming to this world someday, you're so deceived. The Bible said that the Antichrist is here and it's among us. It said there's many Antichrists. It was evident when again Jesus looked at Peter and said, get you behind me, Satan, you savor the things that be of the flesh. So we know that the Antichrist has always been here. Where's he at? He's dwelling in a many-membered body. When you are carnal-minded, the Bible said the carnal mind is enmity with God and the carnal mind is death. So there's your death. And the thing is through the carnal mind, it's taken into captivity at the will of Satan. When you're carnal, Satan is going to come use your life. Satan cannot speak to nobody, can't do nothing to anybody until he finds a carnal individual that he could enter into and use their mouthpiece. Let me tell you, I can confess to you. I can know that there's been times that the devil has come into my life and used my body. I remember having a guy down on the blacktop one time beating his brains out. It scared me when I come to my senses and come away. I was a heathen, but I mean, it was a nothing but a devil came into me and I was totally uncontrollable as I'm bashing a man's head into the blacktop. It wasn't me doing that. It was a demon. Brother Ed's brother, when he pulled the gun out here a couple years ago and killed the police officer right over here in Archdale, it was a demon spirit that his brother came to and that gave place to, and this demon came into him of anger and it manifested itself and took an innocent man's life. You see, it's demon spirits. When a man leaves his wife and goes off in immorality, sleeping around with women, it's because he's given place to demon spirits. And these demon spirits have come. The Bible said that they go out into the dry places seeking for a place of inhabitation. The Bible teaches to cast down every thought and every vain imagination. What are those? Those are the thoughts that come from the demonic spirits and from that realm. They come to all of us. There's a difference of being possessed by a devil and being oppressed by one. When you're sitting around dropping your head and feeling sorry for yourself, nobody likes me, nobody wants me, oh, I just this and I that, it's demon spirits of oppression that you've given place to. You see, that doesn't mean you're possessed, but it means you're oppressed by those demon spirits. Receive the Spirit of God. Receive the Spirit of joy and life and happiness. That's what Christ does. He gives you power. Let the weak say that they're strong. It is a spirit of joy and peace that surpasses all understanding. You walk as an overcomer. You walk in the victory and the counsel of the Word of God. This is what we have to do. You see, what spirit are you giving place to? The Bible said, try the spirit and see if it would be of God. You see, a lot of times we say, well, you know, man, it had to have been the Spirit of God. He said, go preach. Let me tell you, I've had the devil tell me to go preach so many times. It's not funny. You got to discern what spirit's speaking. Don't you know that when the devil came and talked to Jesus there, when he went up on the Mount of Temptation there for 40 days and nights, and he spoke to him, he spoke the word to him. He didn't come speak a lie, he spoke the word to him. He said, but it is also written. That's what Jesus said. It's also written. Don't you know the devil's going to speak the word to you? If the devil come to me and say, hey man, you need to go down here and preach. And oh man, that had to have been God. And I take off and then something happens here when God said you should have been here. Brother Pike, I remember sharing a testimony about that. He had a great job to do down at the ocean, getting the boat ready to go into the third world countries with this ship and to take benevolence and things. And he's down there. And the Lord said, no, you need to get back down to home. Get back down to little Bethlehem. And, oh, but man, this is important. He stayed and he got thrown overboard. You know what? Obedience is better than sacrifice. But I'm doing something for you, God. This isn't for me. I'm trying to get this thing ready to go help the needy people. He didn't ask him that. He said, get home. There was problems at the home front. He said, get home. So what happened? He got knocked overboard. Why? Because he wasn't being obedient to the things of God. See, brothers and sisters, obedience is better than sacrifice. There's sacrifices in our lives. There's saints happening around about us. The Bible said when you have hidden sin in your life, you won't prosper. I know we can go over and read the book of the preacher, Ecclesiastics, and he said, you know, there's lying vanities, man. He said, there's no reasoning under the sun. He said, the wicked live long and the righteous die young. You know, so I understand that. There's lying signs and wonders all around about us. You get the reports of the old guy, 95 years old, sucking down the whiskey, smoking the cigar, man chirping and running around in the dance halls. And you think, well, what is it? You see, there's lying signs and wonders. There's uncertain sounds that are going forth. Let me tell you something. The wicked and the immoral are not under the judgment of God. They'll go on and they'll prosper. But when you're a child of God and you get out there and those saints, he said it's going to be like your pockets with holes and he's going to blow on everything you touch. And all of a sudden your world starts dissolving and falling apart around you. Where the heathen's going to go on and prosper and be rich. And the Bible said that the wealth of the wicked will be the thing to justify against them in that day. It's going to be the thing to judge them. brothers and sisters. So we got to rend the veil again. And we got to learn and find and understand. So in closing, we're final up a thought here when we think of sleep. When you're a blood-bought, born-again child of God and can't die, and this life that you say comes to what would look to appear to be an end, you're present with God, which you're present now with Him, your spirit eternal and dwelling in heavenly places, and there will be a day of the redemption of the body, and where it goes through the change, the metamorphosis, and the body's changed, and it comes forth out of the ground, and this body will be the spirit flesh at that point, no longer mortal flesh. It goes through the transfiguration. Or the change. So the thing is that right there is a collective thing because it has to do with the Jew, because the Jew has to do with the body. So when he returns to the Jew, the spirit is going back to the natural Jew, then it comes to this natural body and changes it in the moment, a twinkling of an eye. But then the Jew is in a dispensation of a grace there to them. The grace to them now is being blinded in part and being turned over to a stupor, the Bible says, for the sin won't be imputed to them because the imputing of sin is death. So the Jew is in this stupor right now, and when it goes back to them, their eyes come open. And he said, where did you get the nail prints? In the house of my friends. They realize what they've done, and then the judgment of the tribulation period for 7-year tribulation to the Jew and to the rest of the world that are natural like the Jew, if they live through the tribulation, if they live through this, it said if he didn't hold his wrath back, it said that there wouldn't have been any that come through. And these ones that call themselves Christians in this day and hour and that are not walking according to the word and they're crucifying the Son of God afresh in this day and hour, then they are going to reap the benefits as the natural Jew. It's not going to look too good for them, because if they can't stand for God today, wait until the Spirit departs. They will be ones that would be marked with the beast. Amen. So there's a lot that could be said there. And just touching on a few things this morning, it takes literal hours and hours and days to indoctrinate in revelational truths of God's Word. Amen. Let's stand together. Hope I said something to encourage you. I hope if I made you mad that you go and get over it. Amen. And find repentance with God. Amen. Because I'm just preaching God's Word. Amen. I love you all and appreciate you. Do anything I could to help you, enlighten you in the things of God. I know I didn't like it when my dad used to whoop me when I was a kid, but sometimes I needed it, and sometimes it set the course straight, amen. And sometimes if you ain't living right and you're partakers of the world, you don't like it when the preacher preaches the word, but this is what will bring life to you, amen, and eternal, abundant, godly, and holy life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing a song or two. The altars are open this morning. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the altars are open. We'd love to pray with you. Amen. The Bible said if there's any sick and afflicted among you, to let them come forward in the church and anoint them with oil. Let the elders lay hands on them and pray for them. It said they shall be healed. Amen. Hallelujah.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.